Saving and everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Best Air Ultimate Allergen Air Filters. They trap large airborne particles to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Best Air products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening now. Save big.
It's unbelievable how much worse a day is if I don't get sleep.
Oh, we're rolling?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great.
Oh, my God.
Why didn't you sleep? We have similar issues.
Yeah, we do. We're actually very similar
in a lot
of ways.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people think we're gay and we're not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people think I'm gay, too.
The no free will.
No free will.
Yep. Yeah, we both subscribe to no free will.
I know. I always forget about it. And then when I think about it, I go, oh, yeah, no, that's totally what's going on.
People get really upset.
I know. You can't have that conversation.
I mean, we saw Ian have a full meltdown. Me and
Ian did?
Yeah.
You know, why is that? They're protecting their thing.
Who was I talking? Maybe it was my tour manager. We were driving and I was trying to explain it to him. And he was like, it's you know what it is? That people think it makes you lazy. They're like, if there's no free will, then why wouldn't you sit around all day and then be like, well, there's no free will. I didn't have any control.
I think that is like a protecting thing. Like, underneath that.
And we know about protection.
Yeah, we should say we got pillows.
And
Jordan,
sunglasses.
And that, just so no one can hurt us.
Yeah.
We're safe.
We didn't get enough sleep.
No. I wake up like this.
Yeah.
Like several times a night. And I don't know if it's panic or I just forgot to breathe or what it is.
Let's hear you go like this. Pretty good.
Not really. One of the nostrils is totally blocked.
Are you having nightmares?
I had a dream my mother tried to punch me in the face last night.
Wow, like that's crazy. I punched a wall yesterday. See?
Why'd you do that?
I'd just be punching walls when I get mad.
No, did you really get really mad and punch a wall?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you share what it was about?
Like a person was pissing me off. And I was being a little pussy.
You were being a pussy.
I was being like that. No.
You went like, no. Then you punched a wall.
And then I went, ow.
Those are two different people, like a pussy, then someone punched
a wall.
Well,
that's the two versions of me being like, you little pussy.
Do you punch because you're mad at yourself for being a pussy?
Yeah, yeah. Three times.
Really? God, I want to know the specifics, but I don't want you to overshare.
The specifics were like a the same thing that's always going on with me, where it's like a breaking up, getting back together thing.
I know. You have some fun dating drama whenever I talk to you. It's fun.
I know. I always do.
That's fun, though.
Yeah. I mean, what the alternative is what? We're happily married. Those people seem so alive. Casey, who works at the Cellar, and she's got the two beautiful kids, and she's happily married. She's got a pep to her step. She doesn't hug pillows and wear sunglasses.
No, she does not. Although I know some people who had children that it destroyed their lives and they can't say it. But
really?
Well, it's a gamble. You have a kid who's just got serious problems and they're banging their head against the wall your whole life forever until you die is really bad.
But now they know if it's going to have problems and you can get a shroom.
No, it's too late. Sometimes you find out when they're like three, you're like, wait, something is not right.
And they're like, yeah, but they're not like crack babies. They're like autistic or something, which is fine.
Yeah. Nah, no.
No?
Ruins your life. Excuse me. There was a lady who got, her kid would have to slam every drawer, every room he went into forever.
OCD.
Something, yeah.
Yeah, I had that.
And then.
And now look at me.
I want to talk to you. We'll get back to that. I want to talk to you about that. But no, but she would, you know, the kid come over. I just saw this one time it was explained to me, and it's just slamming doors. And she was like, he's getting better. While you just heard doors just slamming in the background.
But it's an OCD. They will grow out of that. After puberty, it gets way better. And no, they're usually kind of brilliant.
It wasn't like you OCD. It was like there was something also very wrong.
Like
autistic. Yeah. Nonverbal.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, you have a interesting.
Wait. Let me introduce you. here's the deal. Here's what nobody knows.
What?
I'm going to introduce you.
All right. Here's what nobody knows. You.
Here's what nobody knows. When I lived in Buffalo, I became hyper fixated on Kyle Dunnigan and listened to every single episode of Professor Blastoff 150 times. Sent Kyle an email.
What?
Yep. Sent him an email. Was like, he's my idol. He's the Lord, my Lord and Savior. And talked about you constantly to everybody. Then I get to the cellar. I divulge that to you. You're there.
Yeah.
And then I go on stage, and I think you had walked out, but just the sheer idea of you being in the back had a full panic attack.
Really?
And I have performed in front of Louis, Chappelle, Mulaney.
Wow.
And been like, yo, watch this, bitch. But for some reason, you in the back, I was like, completely, yeah, shit my pants after, not really shit my pants, but you know what I mean, had the panic poop after.
That, I mean, you are so good. I'm not just saying that because you're right here.
And because
I mean, I'm intimidated by your stand-up is unbelievably good.
That's awesome.
And consistently awesome. And I'm so shocked.
But isn't that crazy?
I feel good about that you were like, wow, he's so good that he will judge me.
I remember going on stage and being like, I know how nice he is and I know he's not judging you. And still my body was just like shutting down. Wow. And I remember somebody being like seeing your name on the lineup and me like shaking and going up to somebody and be like, this isn't. And they were like, yeah, it is Kyle.
Really?
And I was like, no, is it? And I was like freaking the fuck out.
Wow.
Yeah. And now we're friends.
You didn't show any of that.
I'm really good at not showing it, but when I went on stage, I panicked.
No, you're so good. There's a few people I watch always. Well, now you don't want to know that, but I do watch when you're on.
You fucker.
That's so nice to watch. You listen to Professor Blastoff.
Yeah.
It's a certain.
And then, of course, watched everything that you've ever done.
Well, thank you. That's a really huge compliment.
Yeah. And my best friend was paralyzed. My dad had died. It was like the hardest year of my life. And I would just go for runs in this park in Buffalo where people would get raped every day. And I would listen and I would just crack up laughing. And it like totally, which I know is like something that people say in meet and greet lines, but it was so nice.
It's so nice to hear that. Cause you do that sort of in a void. And
yeah.
And it's so cool that it's someone.
It's crazy. Yeah. The singing with your body that you would do. I would listen to it all the time.
Oh yeah.
I know all of it. I know everything you've ever said.
I always felt so uncomfortable. I still do. Like I didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah.
Also, that was like early podcast days. And I'm like, what
it
is this?
It was so good.
Yeah.
Tig's so good.
She's a really good like leader, you know?
You guys were just so silly and you could go off on these complete tangents that were like completely in your head.
That David would just throw a monkey wrench into.
Yeah. Him. And you guys and he would be the straight man and you guys would just like think in cartoons and things that did, which is like why her comedy I love so much, where she like talks about what if there is a pig in the audience. You know what I mean? Like she influenced me so much to be on stage and be like yesterday a guy was like, I'm French and Maltese. And I was like, oh, you're half dog? And then I just went on this whole thing about how he's a dog. He's half dog.
Yeah.
And like, that's very like Tig and you influence, because you guys will be like, what if this whole thing played out?
Yeah. She's very visual like that.
I love
that. And she's good at seeing like, oh, there's a joke here.
Yeah.
And like getting it out of you.
Yeah.
Sometimes I would do something I didn't know was like something funny. And then she would just keep poking and go, oh. Okay,
yeah.
The good old days.
But yeah, that's who's on the pod, Kyle Dunnigan.
I'd still get nervous just randomly on stage, and I'm mad at myself.
So annoying.
And I'm like, what do I care? I don't intellectually care, but I guess I do.
I think it's alchemy. I think a lot of it, because sometimes I'll be like about to go on at the VU or something, and I'm like, why is my body reacting now? And I'm like, it's got to be 5 hours or less of sleep, coffee, weird French fries that I had for breakfast, and then I go on stage and my body's like
and I don't know if you, but like it's so random. I walk
it's
up
so
and I
random.
Go, oh, I have confidence, or I walk up and I go, oh, I'm really self-conscious.
But that's why the
here.
No free will thing is the best, because you can be like, this obviously is not up to me, I'm not choosing, or else I would always choose
right
to be confident.
Yeah, everybody wants to have the best.
Yeah. And the no free will thing allows you to have fun on stage, because you're like, whatever happens is not up to me. Somebody could throw a beer at me halfway through the set. Who knows?
I got to remember this more. It also makes you very forgiving of other people, like in traffic or whatever. You know, you sort of.
I came up with finally a way of describing it, which I have tried for so long to figure out. And what it is it's like, okay, if you take a wheel and you shove it down a hill, it's going to go where it's going to go. But the wheel is seeing like rocks and valleys and like things and being like, yo, I'm choosing to go over this rock right now. Now I'm choosing to like tip over, whatever. But it's not doing that. It's the momentum behind the thing.
Yes.
And it's like flying through life.
Yes.
But it's everything it sees, it's like, now I'm going up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And this will never catch on in a big way.
No.
Because people are so, and I'm like this too, but like you want to hang on so hard that you're making decisions. It's like, who are you if you aren't making your own decisions? But everything really is being calculated by your subconscious, and it's thrown into your conscious, and you actually go, oh, I thought of this, but that person didn't. And then also they've done studies where, I don't know if you've heard about this, but you probably have, like the study where they people have like half a brain, like whatever, and like one side, you show them an image here and they don't know what they're looking at.
Right.
This is like they've done this experiment a bunch of times.
The master and his emissary, that guy?
It's just like, you have a half brain, you show this eye like a picture of a teddy bear. This conscious side sees nothing. It sees nothing, the conscious person. And then they'll show the other side, you know, the other eye, like a bunch of pictures, and go pick whatever stands out to you. And they always pick the bear or whatever was shown to subconscious.
But the weird thing is sometimes they'll try and be like, okay, they'll show a rooster or something to the unconscious side. And then the conscious side will be like, I really want eggs. Like it'll make meaning that doesn't have to do with anything.
It makes up. You'll go like, why'd you pick the rooster or the bear? And go, I had a bear when I was in elementary school that I love. They actually make up the answer of why they picked the thing. So we like later justify what we did. Like you go, I got coffee today instead of tea because yesterday I got, but really you have no idea.
You have no idea. It's like if I say think of an animal, you just like, you didn't choose the animal.
It's really,
Huberman just put out an episode where that's like all people are doing in romantic relationships is like, they're like attracted to somebody, the pheromones are there, the toxicity of their childhood, yada, yada, all of that. And then they like just make shit up as to why they like them.
Yeah.
Like they're like, we have a lot in common. We both have two eyes. You know what I mean? And they're like, you don't have anything in common. Yeah. And they're like, no.
Yeah.
But then you can have so much in common with somebody who's stanky to you. And you're like, we don't like the same things.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep. Yeah. That's glaring is people like are really attracted to another person. You just can't figure it out.
Or
they can't. It doesn't make logical sense.
I'm all smell.
So huge.
I'm so smell.
Me too.
And I'll hug like women that have the smell that I'm attracted to. I'll hug men that have it. I'll hug like people that are like 80 who have it. Like it's a very specific thing.
80, really?
It could be 80, 23. It could be like anybody.
I don't think I've ever hugged a very old woman and been like.
It's like a certain level of grime, I think. I don't know what, I actually know so specifically what it is. It's like when you smell somebody's hat.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not good.
You like the gross thing.
I don't know if it's the gross thing. It's a certain pheromone the gross.
Yeah, yeah. That is the weirdest thing. That is so subconscious. I mean,
it's crazy.
Oh, this is an advertisement for Brooklyn Bedding. I've started thinking about my mattress as part of my everyday, part of my recovery routine. Since switching to my mattress from Brooklyn Bedding, my spine feels supported, my body relaxed when I sleep, and I'm not fighting to get comfortable at night. I fall asleep faster and I wake up feeling genuinely restored. This shift has made a real difference and now I feel every day. When I first laid down on my mattress from Brooklyn Bedding, I immediately felt the difference. It isn't just your average bed. It's handcrafted, precision built, comfort, manufactured light right here in the U.S. You don't sleep on a Brooklyn Bedding mattress. You experience it. I'm big on buying things I know will last. And Brooklyn Bedding feels like, I'm big on buying things that Brooklyn Bedding feels like the kind of purchase. Their mattresses are cost effective, yes. But they're also built with long-term durability in mind. Right here in the USA, my mattress doesn't feel mass-produced or disposable. It feels solid, intentional, and built to last. That kind of American craftsman still matters to me. American. American. Brooklyn Bedding designs and assembles every mattress in their Arizona factory. No middlemen, no gimmicks, just top-tier quality, honest pricing, and real American craftsmanship. American. It's American. For a better night's sleep. Brooklyn Bedding is an all-American success story, all-American. A guy named John started it all in Arizona. No last name, his name's just John. He learned the trade, but has built the business from the ground up with a college degree. Fast forward, and today he's still it's still a family run right here, and you guessed it, America. Brooklyn Betting knows sleep isn't just one size fits all. That's why they offer mattresses for everybody, every sleep style, even hard to find sizes. Are you really, really, really wide and super short? We got it. Sleep hot? Brooklyn Bedding uses Glaciotex, covers copper infusion foams and temperature regulating materials to keep you cool and comfortable all night long. Brooklyn Bedding is one of the few mattress brands endorsed by the American Chiropractic Association for spine alignment and back health, so you know you're getting the supportive sleep your body needs. Brooklyn Bedding offers a 120-night comfort trial. Love it, or they'll frickin' help you return it or swap it hassle-free. Not sure you can take my word for it. Brooklyn Bedding has been awarded the best mattress on CNET by CNET and best hybrid mattress by Wirecutter, so you know it's the real deal. Go to brooklynbedding.com and use promo code RIPJordan to check out and get 30% off site wide during the 2006 promotion below. That's brooklynbedding.com and promo code RIP for 30% off statewide. Exclusive with my code. Go to get a new bed. You deserve it. Go to brooklynbedding.com. I'm endorsing it. It's a good place. It's American, brooklynbedding.com. Promo code RIP Jordan.
You know the test where they put the brother's shirt in the thing?
Yeah, and they're like, oh.
Yeah, they're just so repulsed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was, there was a girl. She was so nice. We got along, a lot in common. And she just, not bad, but she smelled wrong. And I was like, I got to get out of here.
Have you ever had somebody no smell? Just none?
I don't think so.
I've had that where I'm just like, nothing is happening. And then I would start these fights so that then he would smell really good after the fights.
What?
Like if I'm fighting with somebody, they'll start to smell good.
Because what do you make of that?
That's just like I am attracted to
drama. Fighting.
Yeah, not drama. Drama I don't like, but I like, I like when a guy's like this, no. And I'm like, please. And they're like, no. That's what I like. Like, if a guy's doing his taxes, it smells good. If he's busy. You know what I mean? Because that's, like, safe to me.
That doesn't happen to me, I don't think, but I'm going to keep an eye out for
you
that.
You should. Like, if somebody, like, smells somebody, and then they'll be like, I actually have a boyfriend, and I bet they'll smell better.
Wow.
Yeah.
So if they like you and they're available, they start to smell bad.
Yuck.
Huh.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, we have pillows and glasses because we're feeling vulnerable. We need to feel protected.
Yeah, we're feeling vulnerable.
I know. Vulnerable?
That's what it sounded like you said. We're feeling vulnerable.
That helps too.
Ew, a guy in the audience the other day, he was like, he was celibate. And I was like, why are you celibate? And he was like, because I hate women. And I was like, do you still get erections? And he was like, I have one right now. And that made me want to get into a physical fight. Everything about that, isn't that the perfect...
Boners are just disgusting.
But also just a guy be like, I hate women, but I'm erect talking to you right now.
Yeah.
It was such a nightmare guy.
He was joking, right? Or was he really?
He was had very little teeth, so.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Little teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, the boner thing, oh my God. It's really awful. It's just awful.
I know. I think about if a woman had an erection, how hard sex would be. Like, you know how a guy will lose his erection? I feel like a woman would never be able to get hard. It would just be up and down, up and down, up and down. You know what I mean? Because we get icked out so easily.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't like this so visual that you like somebody.
You can't
be cool and be like, whatever. Just tent your pants.
Yeah. I like that, though. It's your one thing. Everything we have is humiliating. Sacks on our tits. Sacks for tits. Stupid wet hole.
Stupid wet hole, I agree with, but the boobs are good.
They're so embarrassing, flopping around. You gotta strap them down if you do anything fun.
I don't think they're embarrassing. I don't think you should be embarrassed. No, I don't think they're embarrassing. I think they're great.
No, they're stupid for us. They feel stupid. We got a thing on our chest, like a cow. Like a cow.
Yeah, but everyone likes them. And it's like a powerful asset.
Imagine if your balls were like... right on your sternum. How silly you would
feel. If people like them, I would have the push-up ball bra. People love boobs, especially the summer.
Yeah, they're boobs. Out.
especially in New York, because they've been trapped, and then women are just like, I don't need a bra.
It's so crazy. Shirt. It's so distracting. Have you been to Prospect Park since
yesterday?
It's on. There's I no. Know. I do think it should chill. I do think the full bikinis with no water is crazy.
With no water?
They're wearing full bikinis laid out like there's a beach and there's no body of water.
Yeah, yeah.
It's weird. It's like laying down on like a parking lot. It's very odd.
Yeah. It turns into France in the summer here.
With no water, though. What France has water?
Yeah, they got the bikini on. Yeah.
It's quite odd.
Or bra. Girl, they just go bra.
Yeah. I'll do sports bra shorts. I'll do the
That's
rugby.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, the full G-string... with no body, you need a little body of water. Even if you get a blow up pool, fine.
Wouldn't that be? They should have that at Prospect Park. Anyway, we're talking about Prospect Park, but that we live near each other.
Yeah, we spent.
We
a lot
came
of time
an hour there. This way. We live down the
so
street from
far.
Each other.
I know, it's so stupid.
I have a podcast too. We could have just shot it there.
What?
Yeah.
At your house?
Yeah. In the basement. I don't know what I'm doing with it. Like, I've made a few shows, but I kind of don't want to.
Let me just rent it.
Absolutely. You can have it free.
No, I'll rent it out. Is it really by? Yeah. Is there an external door? No, you have to go through.
No, but you can come in. You can come in.
But do you own a home?
Don't bother me none. Yeah.
Don't bother me none.
Bother me none. For real, you can use it whenever you want.
Wow, don't tell them that. Okay. Just kidding, Mike. Just kidding. Loyal. I'm a loyal dog.
Ooh.
You
know, you're if you have a quick thing you need to do, you can't get up here.
Yeah, and sometimes this fucker's busy. Wow.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Why don't you record?
You keep a banner at my house, plop it up.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Where?
Place.
Don't tell me where you live. Don't tell the exact address.
I'll tell you this. It's near Union Hall.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. You go there a lot?
All the time.
I really?
A lot of young kids there. I feel it's disgusting.
It's
so gross. You get down there, like, did I not make it in show business?
It's so fucked up. Every time I'm on stage, it's just fucking sweet little ladies with like perfectly rimmed gold glasses. You know what I mean? The little like farmer glasses.
Oh, I just see young people there and I feel old.
Yeah, but they're like farm. They like want to live on a farm upstate, but they live there and then they don't laugh at anything. Even if it's not racist, if you say the word Asian or anything, they just shut down completely.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's not good.
I can't do it. I feel like they want to kick me out every time I'm down there.
When was the last time you were down there?
A year ago.
I thought I had this image I'd be like popping in there trying out new stuff, and I haven't done it once.
If I see one more clip of somebody talking about the old lady behind them, the old lady picture at Union Hall on the stage, I'll kill myself.
Don't do that.
I won't do it.
I got good spots tonight.
Yeah.
Were you? Well, it's not. It's public. I was going to say.
It's
kind
of.
Anyone.
I think it's like 10. You're usually there at 5:45.
I'm at the stand.
Oh, you're at the stand.
You're at the cellar?
I'm at the cellar. You like the stand?
I do.
The downstairs room?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. I just also, it's a good hang, like comedian.
Where?
Hang. Upstairs.
Upstairs.
You feel
yeah.
like you're, yeah.
I can't go in that green room because I get contact high and then I have intrusive thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah. The guy who was smoking all that pot kind of hasn't been there in a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know if they...
Where he hotboxes the whole thing?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be hotboxed.
So rude.
Illegal. I
also,
know, they do it.
Blasting music. You're like, this is our safe space.
Yeah. But the upstairs is nice. So is the pizza.
Delicious pizza, yes.
It's
yes,
good pizza.
Yes. I got hacked. By the way, don't open any of my emails. I got hacked yesterday.
What? What are they saying to people?
This is the worst part. They go, they sent an invitation to a party, pink envelope. Okay.
Oh, my God.
And it goes, come join me for merriment and good times. Like I would ever. So people think I thought this would be a good invitation, first of all.
Yeah.
Come join me for merriment.
Yeah, but I would believe that
time.
As a bit.
Yeah, as a bit, maybe.
Yeah.
In the pink envelope. But it was too subtle to be like funny. And then what you don't realize, when you get hacked and everyone gets sent an invitation, all the people that you successfully ghosted... Because it's like, you can't hang out with everybody. I can only have like four friends.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot of napping in my life.
A lot of napping.
There's a lot of stuff going on where I'm busy. And, you know, some people like contacted me I wanted to hear from, but it gets all these texts and emails. Like, and now I'm like in this whole, you know, oh, you want to get lunch?
Oh, no.
And I have to, now I have to re-ghost. Because you can't be like, I don't have time to hang out with you.
And if I did send a pink envelope, you'd be the last person it would go to.
Yeah.
They can't say that.
Yeah, they think you're back. Like, oh, he's now wants to get me back in his life.
He oh,
sent
no.
me an invitation
Is
to
it
his
like
pink
exes?
Party. Yes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, like ghosts or like major energy suck people that you just, you know, successfully were able to.
But are you bad with boundaries? I'm quite bad with boundaries. So yes. I probably sent that, would send it. And instead of being like, hey, sorry, that was spam.
No, I said that. But then it's like, hey, let's get lunch even after that. You know, after
God, lunch? What? That's like 2.5 hours to there and get back.
A
whole lunch?
A whole lunch.
With like people you've slept with once?
Some not even slept with.
Just like?
Some just maybe.
What a bizarre move to get spammed and then use it as a reconnection. I mean, I would never, I'd be like, yep, never will speak to you. I understand that you didn't mean for this to happen.
Yeah, not a lot of people are like that. Some are like,
are they leechy? Or are they like, I want some showbiz guy?
I think it's like, there's a couple of combos. One's just like old friends. And some people, it was nice to hear from. But some also, not that I don't like the person, but like I don't have, a bit of an energy suck. And it's like, we kind of don't have something common. Maybe we grew up together, but like whatever.
What about the people who you've knew in like, this is happening to me where people I knew in like high school or something that I've long since not talked to are now like seeing my clips and being like, they have my fucking number from high school.
Yes.
And they're being like, hey, what's up? Let's catch up. And I'm like, dude, I hate that you have my number.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because a lot of them, you know, you'd get married and have a family, and then you're probably their like memory of when they were single and having fun.
Yeah.
And it's like, let's.
I don't actually think people are getting married from my hometown. Or I guess some are. But it's like, it's a little grim out there.
Yeah, very few people are getting married.
Now. Yeah.
Are you going to get married, do you think?
I would like to get married, I think.
You'd like to get have a family?
Here's what I would like. I would like to get married for sure, just because I've always wanted that since I was a little boy. And then I would like to, because of my dog, I'm going to need to have a child.
Wait a minute.
The only thing that is gonna have me move on from my dog in a way
that's what I was gonna say. That's gonna be my guess.
Is gonna have to be a child.
Cause you put your love. It doesn't matter what is. That's why Wilson in the Tom Hanks movie Castaway.
Yeah.
We all understood like his love was put into this ball. Like, it doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
And once if it's on your dog, you got to get it off your dog to your kid.
I'm gonna be hospitalized. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, because we've adopted terminally ill children. Our dogs are going to die.
I was trying to write a bit about this where I'm like, what a weird curse that we're like, it's going to love you forever. It's not going to say any words. It's only going to give you unconditional love, but it's going to age rapidly. Like, it's like a scary witch's fucking.
Yeah, it got cursed.
It's so fucked up. And we just all sign up for it.
I know. I might do transition dog, which is, I feel like a little bit of a. F you to my current dog, but just get a puppy now. My dog's 13.
Oh,
and then the
God.
Transition, I could start loving that one more, the new
but
one.
But how can you love a dog as much as that dog? How is it possible?
No, I know. I thought about cloning because that solves that. And like, I'm still love you. It's just I like the younger you. The younger you.
Oh my
you
God,
dog.
I can't even. It's crazy. My love for my dog is disgusting.
I know. Mine
it's
too.
It's so crazy.
Mine's all. Like the way I talk to my dog, I have to hide from any kind of girl. You cannot hear how I talk to my dog.
And I race home just because I know how stoked we're going to be when we reunite.
Yes, I know.
After just a couple hours and we do party time. It's so fun.
Yeah.
I was like playing chess last night and I just like looked over at her and she looked at me. And then we both just at the same time were like, I fucking love it. And she just like got up and started like we.
Connection. I play chess. I want to play chess with you.
I'm really bad.
No one plays chess with me. Do you play on chess.com? Where do you play?
I play with a board.
You play like in person.
Yeah.
All right. We gotta just throwing it out there. I play chess and I love it.
But I'm really bad at it. Do you like think ahead and have?
Then I get to beat you, and that feels good.
But
for
do you
me.
Have like tactics?
Yeah. No, you will probably lose.
I hate the fucking.
I've been playing for a while though, but I can teach you stuff, and you'll get as good very quickly. Like I'm
really?
Not that good that you wouldn't catch up.
Can you? Do you go ever sit with the guys at the parks?
I brought no. That intimidates me, that whole thing. I don't know what's going on, but
it's got to be so. It's got to just be like when you play poker at the casino and it's just like you're out.
I feel like they're stealing. They might be stealing money too. Like there's something so fast going on there. Like what? Aren't they playing for money?
I don't know if they play for money. I'm sure it's like they would play for $5 because they beat you so quick.
Yeah, I think I would lose there.
Yeah.
But I would beat you and that would feel good.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Do you play chess.com?
Yeah. You do? On chess.com?
You know, I never go on there.
You know?
I'm really bad. I mean, it's crazy. You know what I am? I'm like a, like between moves, I am not looking. And then I only look when it's my turn. And then I go off of whatever that is.
Wait, do you even like to play? It sounds like you're bored right in the middle of a
game. No, I like to play. It's just I don't want to do the planning. I want to go turn by turn. I don't want to think ahead.
Do you think of the other person, what they're trying to do?
I try and see what they're trying to do.
Okay.
But I try and look at it and I'm like, it's like you ever have those moments where like I'm gonna pretend to like be Neo in the Matrix?
Yeah.
Do you ever have that? Where you're just like
during chess?
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
No, what are you talking
about? That's what I was doing. I was like, I'm just gonna know what to do.
Oh,
so every time I'm playing with somebody, they're trying to play to win and I'm playing to like have some underlying Queen's Gambit like
mm-hmm. Like you're seeing equations pop up.
Yeah.
Are you just go by your gut? Like this seems like a good place to put this piece.
I'm trying to do stuff. I won last night.
Okay, well, who are you playing against?
I played against the breakup and on and off guy. And I did win, but he made a fatal error.
He's really bad.
He made a mistake.
Okay.
Lucy is a thing that you like. Lucy's are my new go-to pouch. I've tried them all. Complete. Lee switched from the three-letter brand. They are the best pouches on the market. Hands down, the best pouch. No best pouch experience I've ever had. Top-notch lip pillows. Hell of a pouch. Shit. Hell of a pouch they are. Insert your favorite flavor here. My favorite flavor is mango. That's my favorite Lucy Breaker flavor. Great flavors and they long last time. They last long time. I absolutely love the flavor and strength options. You can get them. Mint, apple ice, mango, espresso, berry citrus, apple cider. If you're not sure, get the six pack so you can try them all. There's a little breaker ball in each pouch. It's pretty awesome. It packs a punch the second you bite into the breaker. Super smooth kick lasts longer than any pouches you've ever used. Love how long the flavors last compared to others. Smooth, delivery, consistent. I get hours of flavor from one pouch. They don't dry out. And they have become a staple in my day-to-day. Lucy Nicotine is the best long-lasting pouches I've ever tried. Say something nice. I like them. You can pop the breaker. It makes it nice and fresh. Refreshes it. Refreshes the breaker. Flips the breaker, if you will. Break the breaker to flip the breaker. Lights go back on. You got a fresh pouch. Get 20% off your first order when you buy online at lucy.co/RIP with promo code RIP. That's lucy.co/RIP with promo code RIP. And if you don't want to wait, check out this store locator to find where you can pick up Lucy near you. And here comes the fine print. Lucy products are only available for adults of legal age and every customer is age verified. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Save 20% off on your online order to lucy.co/RIP with promo code RIP. Thanks.
Do you know to control the center of the board? You know that? You want to control the center. These are just little things I could teach you. You want to get all your pieces out real quick.
Okay.
You want to castle real quick, protect your king real quick.
Okay.
Those three things are like the three basic majors.
And control the center?
Control the center.
Okay.
Most powerful area because you control a lot of squares around it.
Okay.
Okay.
I always get my shit taken when I don't know about it.
my shit's getting taken.
And you can't end up with the damn bishops. You need a queen or a rook to. I can't win even with two bishops if you have a. I can't do it.
It's all about the pawns at the end.
Oh.
Pawn, end game. You need end game. There's opening, middle, and end game, and they're all like different, kind of.
Wow.
Yeah, listen.
Maybe we should film a podcast while we're playing chess.
Wait a minute. Could we do, this might be too much. I think a chess podcast would blow up huge.
Why do you think that?
Because the chess community is hungry. There's a guy, he makes millions of dollars and he just talks about chess. But this is so few, you know, that like entertaining chess channels. He's relatively entertaining.
Okay.
You know?
So we do a chess podcast where you're teaching me.
We bring in people also, maybe.
Okay. We really good chess. People?
Yeah, they could analyze our game or something every now and then.
You ever seen these chess children?
Yeah, they creep me out. I mean, yeah. A child is like really good at that.
Yeah, it's scary.
That Magnus Carlsen, you know him? He's the greatest chess player of all time guy.
How old is he?
He's like 35 now.
Yeah.
When he was little, his dad noticed, like, he'd run and, like, jump over something and, like, think about his moves. And his dad was like, I bet he's good at chess.
Really?
That's how he started teaching him to play chess.
See, that's why I want to have a kid.
He just, yeah, I know.
To program it.
What a what a gamble, though.
Oh, my
God. If you think about it, you have to get accidentally pregnant. I don't mean to, I know that's not a popular thing, but you need to, like, gamble more.
I'm gambling pretty hard with the cum.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm
good.
On the cum gamble.
I'm an unpopular angle, but I think that's good because if you think about, like, yeah. I should have a kid now. I mean,
no, you have to gamble with the cum for sure.
And you got to be like, oh, this is terrible timing.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah. But I have a friend who, you know, got pregnant with a random Puerto Rican guy and now is having the kid and he's not around.
Okay.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I want it.
A lone man with a baby is... it's rare.
It doesn't happen.
How weird would you think I was if I said, I'm adopting a child by myself? It would just be so unusual.
It wouldn't be that weird for you, I don't think. You're kind of maternal. You have the dog that you love. That would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, my God.
And you're like a bit of a...
Say it.
You're a little bit of a, like, a heartbreaker guy.
Really?
Yeah, you date a lot.
No,
yeah,
I'm not a
you date
prayer.
A lot.
No,
I've heard. No. I've heard these things.
No. Really? Yeah. No. I have
the amount of people that are like, you know, she dated Kyle Dunn again. You know, she dated Kyle Dunn again.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you've got a good tally going.
I've been. I may have gone out with the. See, I've gone out with a number of female comedians, but that's because that's what's around.
I know. You know what I mean? I do the same thing. I go out with only male comedians.
Yeah, I don't have.
How you say friends?
How to say people who talk to me? I don't have a job where it's like there's people.
Yeah,
I don't
no
ever
way.
Go up to a stranger that's so uncomfortable to be
also,
like.
Also, it's the funniest people in the world. Why wouldn't you choose between that?
Also that.
Yeah.
Like making you laugh, having a good time. Yes. Just I've thought about it a few times. Like, I should go talk. You know, one time I was in actually a store with a girl, ex-girlfriend. We're still friends. So I'm with this, like, you look like a safe guy if you're with a girl.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this lady was like, we were having a good time, had a good chemistry thing. It seemed like she's smelled good.
Mm-hmm.
So then I leave and I go, if I don't ask this girl out, I'm never asking someone out ever. And I'm supposed to be a man. And
what was the context? Where were you?
It's in L.A.
But like at a bar?
Nah, at a clothing store.
Oh, vibing at a clothing store
shirts,
with a random woman.
Pants. I'm trying on shirts. That looks good on you. I know it's her job.
Wow.
But still.
Oh, she works there. Okay,
she works
she's an indentured servant.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
you're,
yeah
okay. Okay, got it.
She's paid. Nice to you, Aussie. No. There was something extra.
Okay.
There was something extra.
Yeah.
Okay. So I leave and I'm like, listen, Kyle, you have to be a man. And if you're going to meet people and they're outside your showbiz, you got to talk and ask a girl out.
Yeah.
And if you don't ask this girl, you were with a lady and you vibe. So I'm going back in there. I'm going to ask her out.
Okay,
terrified.
So you walked out.
Well, first I waited
bags
outside.
Bags bigger than you.
You didn't even know it's coming. So I'm outside just panic attacking, going, get it together. You're a man. You're just asking. It's really hard. I don't know if women, maybe it's not for all, for some men, but like it's just very hard to
My
get
friend
rejected.
Did it the other day outside of a club. She goes, she was like, this guy kept looking at me while we were dancing. And then I went up to him while we were smoking outside. And she was like, did you want to talk to me? And he was like, no. And just walked away. And she was like, cool.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's hard on both sides. And she's very hot.
What's with him?
I don't know.
Although, that's a badass move, though.
Yeah.
So I get the courage. I walk back in there. And I'm ready to say, hey, let's get a drink or a coffee. But what comes out of my mouth, I go, hey, I want to buy that shirt because I'm too scared. So now I'm buying. Oh, she goes, oh, okay. Brings a shirt out. starts ringing it up. I'm like, I gotta, I don't even want this fucking shirt, right?
Yeah.
It was like not a, it was like kind of like a too tight, not a shirt for a man. Rings it up, $110
no.
T-shirt. Now I'm like, Kyle, you've got to ask, you've got to.
Yeah.
And so I go, this is embarrassing.
Sorry. Put your face up to that.
I have to talk in this.
You hold the $100 out. You
I go, hey, ever go out with a guy who likes really expensive shirts? And she goes, what? Like really hard, like what? Context of what?
That's awesome.
That made no sense with it came out of your mouth. And I go, I'm buying a shirt. Would you wanna go out just get, I don't know, food or something? It's something awkward like
yeah.
that. And she goes, oh, I have a boyfriend, but thank you. And I go, yeah, cool. Now I'm like, don't buy this shirt. This
yeah.
has went bad. Don't pay $110. Yeah. Tax is $147.
It's the least you can do for yourself. Yeah.
Bought the shirt. Ended up giving it to a woman because it's not a shirt for a man.
Yeah.
I put on once. And it was like super. And then I just gave it to a friend of mine.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I've never gone out with someone that I asked out or
okay,
met
but that's the problem. If you had said that to a comedian, they would have been like, I understand exactly the bit. You know what I mean? But the problem with asking out normal people as a comic is we go in with some weird thing that doesn't make sense to them.
Yeah, why can't I just be... I definitely tell myself don't joke so much in the beginning because also they just don't even know you and then yeah. sarcasm.
Yeah, but what are we if not just a bunch of bits? I don't know. You know? Sad? Pillow huggers?
Sometimes, yeah.
You have to, okay, what, the best one I've seen is Mike Rowland. You know Mike Rowland?
Name sounds really familiar.
Comedian, works at the Cellar, my best bud, he's on a Pet Detective, what's the show? Pet Control? Animal Control? And he went up to my friend who's quite tall and said, do you want to go out or are you into taller guys? And I liked that. I liked the confidence and then the self-deprecating.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the move.
Okay, I gotta come up with a line that I say every time because then you could get rid of like the nerves. Like, this is a thing I say.
Yeah.
Just so weird to go up to a stranger. It's just so intrusive.
Have you ever done it at the park?
No, I've never. I told you the one story when I asked a woman out and that was it. That I didn't know. That was like a stranger that I just started talking to.
There was like one girl at the park who was like super like hot, fit girl, and she was dating this really rich guy. And I would like talk to them about the relationship and everything seemed to be fine. And then I like got asked out by a guy at the park who was like a little bit of like a mushroomy, hippie, weird guy. And I like went on a date with him and I was like, ah. And
How did he ask you out? Like, what was his thing?
You know how he asked me out is he was like, we matched on one of the apps.
Oh, that's good.
That was good. And he was like, but I'm afraid to date comedians. And I was like, well, okay. And then he's like, but I'll do it. And then we went out. And I remember being like, you know what? That hot girl, she's got like a not CD guy who doesn't do a lot of drugs. And like, she's got a, you know, I can hold out from the CD guy. And then I ran into them. And now they're a couple. Hot girl, CD guy.
What, that guy took you out?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Like it was like a direct correlation for how bad dating is in New York, that the hot girl got like cheated on by the rich hot guy and then ended up with the mushroom guy.
The mushroom guy.
But that's really how everything is, how it's all shaken out.
It seems really tough.
Yeah.
It seems, and also seems like the echo chamber of apps are making women hate men and men hate women. It seems like... it's not doing good things for what people are thinking about the opposite
sex. Well, the apps are designed to keep you on the apps is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's not designed to get you off the apps.
Yeah.
It's just designed to keep you coming back. So then, and they've organized, like, they've been like, these are the best guys. And if you get to this guy, you know, then you have really succeeded at this game. But then those guys are just a particular... any of the top guys are, like, disgusting to me.
Well, yeah, you've seen the chart where it's like 90% of women are trying to date 10% of the men. It's
yeah.
like all like this.
Yeah.
Totally. It used to be more like this. But now...
But I think that that is a little bit false because I think... I know the friends that are trying to date the 10% guys, and the thing is, they are 10% of women. Like, I think that they're, like, my hottest friends are trying to date the hottest successful guys. And I'm like, great, put those together. Yeah. But everybody in between is trying to date across, but I think the 10% guys are like, I'm only dating those women, and they're only dating. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
and these guys want to be those. Okay, men have higher standards than women. So men want those 10% of women. So they're like, all those women want are these guys. But it's like, no, there's a million women that want every guy, but you don't want those women.
Really?
Yeah. Like any woman you meet who's like, is going to date a chubby dude, very few men will date chubby women. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
that will be their bottom line. Whereas yeah. a woman is like, well, I love a little chub, a little dad bod, right?
Yeah.
But like men have this, like, they have to have all of these specifications body-wise, and women are personality-wise, and there's way more of an array of personality than there is body.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Like, cause
that's my theory.
I've gone out, I may only know my experience, but like, I don't mind a little extra, but I feel like everybody that I go out with initially is a little disappointed. Do you know what I mean? They're... I'm not on anyone's Pinterest, you know what I mean? And I understand that. And we're both a little disappointed, and we have to get past that. And then,
like,
because it's just visual right away, you know? You have to be like, I feel like women are much more like tall has like become the most important thing.
Tall
so
is.
It's the most important thing. So that's yeah. very visual.
Tall is fucked up. The tall thing really annoys me. I have friends who will only date men taller than them. And I'm like, then you're just going to keep getting cheated on because you're
yeah.
6 foot woman.
Yeah, I think women have become more visual, like, in that sense than it used to be.
Really?
I have a very small window of my... So I don't really know, like, the vast majority. But, I'll ask people in the audience, like, how short will you date? And a lot of times they're like, 6 feet is, like, the lowest they'll go. And it's like, they don't really... The percentage of men over 6 feet is, like, pretty small.
Yeah, but then ask men what weight they'll go. It's just, the percentage is just as tough.
It's not good for any, it's not looking
yeah,
good.
Yeah, but if you meet somebody you like, everything changes.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just the apps fuck us up because it's all visual. The apps are the devil.
And I think women have more, they have more choice on the apps. They're getting like more hit up on the apps than the men. Let's eliminate everyone in the top 10. Those people.
Yeah.
They don't exist.
Yeah.
But like everybody is like 6 and under, which is like the majority of people. Have
yeah.
you notice that? Like the majority of people don't look good. It's like when you see a good looking person, you're like, oh,
yeah.
there's like an alien walking.
And then
the
you
room.
Find out they actually are a movie star or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw Chris Hemsworth on a plane.
Jesus. Is he huge?
I'm a straight guy, but it was like he looked like different. Then his wife comes in; she's a model. Like this, and their baby was even like.
I know. When I did Bradley Cooper's movie,
baby.
I walked into Bradley Cooper's house, saw him, and went hi, and walked directly by him. Could not stop at him, and just walked into his house.
Too good looking?
Too insanely. It was like the blue eyes. He's very tall. It was like the eye contact of a movie star. And then he's like, "This is my daughter," and I was like, "That is a runway model
yes.
as a child. That is
yeah.
a shrunken." And she was the most beautiful girl I've ever seen in my life. It was
uh-huh.
crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm just like in the corner being like, is anybody going to open the pizza yet? It was so.
What were you doing at Bradley Cooper's house?
Because I was in his movie. I was in. Yeah. But luckily there were other comics at his house. So I just beeline for them.
Mm-hmm.
But every time I talked to him, I mean, thank God he had a camera between us. But it was like.
Yeah.
He'd be like, Jordan, I just need you to. And I'd be like, hey, yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah. Really good looking people are rare. And when you see them, it's like an alien just walked in the room.
Yeah. I served Oscar Isaac once, the guy who plays inside Llewyn Davis.
I don't know.
He's in Ex Machina.
Wait. I love that movie. The main guy?
The bad guy.
Bad guy.
Yeah. And
yeah.
he like looked up and I was just like, because his face was just like, perfect. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You really, they have a shine to them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
it's
those
rare.
People can stay all in their thing.
By the way, don't look in the, this is what I've found. Don't look in the mirror if you've been looking at a very good looking person for a while. This is a devastating thing. Because you get used to your face.
Yeah.
But when you look at a, like I stared at his fam, they're right across from us on a plane. I just stared at them for way too long. And I like recalibrated what a human face should look like. And I went in the bathroom and I looked like, I had to check for like a clown mirror.
Yeah.
I was like, this.
Well, the bathroom on planes can be really jarring. It's really close to you.
Yeah.
It's an odd one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. I have friends that are so strikingly beautiful and I'm always so distracted by it. It's crazy. And there's this new comic at the Cellar who's like a young guy and he just looks like Heath Ledger. And every time I talk to him, I'm like, I don't know what you're saying. And he's like, oh, how long have you been doing? And I'm like, I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking to you. Get away from me. I can't focus at all. It's crazy.
You just don't. You wouldn't want to date a really good looking guy.
No way. I've dated like super tall guy. And that was fun because you're like, you just all of a sudden have a weird capital because you have a tall guy. But tall guys can be scary guys. Here's the weird thing that's happening with men. Men are doing so much research on therapy and mental illness that when you meet them, there's like a couple months where they portray themselves as the most like healthy minded, like this is what it takes to be in a relationship. I'm meeting all these needs. Here's flowers. I'm going to do this. I'm going to think ahead.
No, bad, really bad advice.
And then under that is like the real push down thing.
Rage.
And it's so much scarier than dealing with psychos like us. Like, because we like walk in and we're like, hey, I hate myself. I'm doing my best.
Right, right.
I think about death realistically 10 times a day.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
These people are like, yeah, I've actually managed to deal with my thoughts of death. But and then it comes out in these ways and you're like, oh, that there it is. But it takes so long to get to it.
Yeah.
Because there's so much information on how to be a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, there's so, you can get lost on YouTube, just like how to avoid being a covert narcissist or whatever.
I think men are better at the smush down. I mean, what do you think of that? Because I feel like a man is like a, can smush it down a little longer, and then the pop up is worse, you know, the explosion.
Yeah, the pop up is really scary. The pop-up is really scary. Women are definitely... The thing with women is they're justified a lot in their psycho.
How so?
Like...
You're making excuses for women?
Like, women do that where they do this thing. I don't think they're justified in it at all, but where they're like... Like, I find my friends will, like, be like, yeah, and then I ask to go through his phone. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And they're like, that's my boundary. Like, if you're... And I'm like, you can't just make up a boundary that is, like, to invade somebody's privacy. That's insane. And they're like, if I trust... And they have this way of, like, moving language around...
Yeah,
in a crazy way.
You ever see Martha Stewart? That's a good example. Her
I want to see this so bad.
This is her documentary, but she was like, I hear this from women a lot. Like, I had to cheat because he wasn't fulfilling my needs, and so Jada Pinkett Smith. There's a lot of this, like, well, I didn't feel like I was being my needs of sexuality was being met, so that's why I had to cheat.
Yeah, it's
and
crazy.
It doesn't. I go, wait, that doesn't. That's not good.
Yeah. There's too much psychoanalysis out there.
I had something I was going to say, and it was going to be so poignant and like deep.
Was it about men pushing things down?
Is in that area.
Yeah. And women being better at not doing that? It's more glamorous for women to be fucked up, for sure.
It's definitely, I mean, I think it happens more because it's like accepted. Like, as a man, you can't really cry. Like, you should not cry if you're a man. That's a lie. Like, you should cry. You should never, as a man, you should never cry in front of a woman, I believe.
I think
only going to turn them off.
I think crying is okay. It just kind of has to be like this.
Yeah, like one tear.
Yeah.
You know, your dog, something like serious happened. Like
one
parents,
tear is
your
good.
Parents were in a car crash, and like one tear is cool.
Yeah, one tear is okay. It's the weeping...
Yeah,
it's the weeping and the voice cracking.
Do you ever have a man just openly weep and bawl at you and it was just because he was feeling sad?
I dated a guy who would openly weep at like movies, and he like read one of my niece's books that was like How Much I Love You or something and would weep.
Oh.
And I didn't mind it because he was like a jock.
Yeah.
And there was something really attractive about this kind of like dumb jock just like breaking down and crying. But if there was any like artistic nature to him or sensitivity in that way, I don't think I would have liked it. But because he was just like a sex-driven chimp, when he would cry, it was okay.
If he's open, I guess that could be, it's probably, would be a lot healthier. I had somebody, speaking of like going through phones, she moved in with me. I thought she was jealous because she was far away. We had long distance. And then I would go, whenever I would go to the bathroom, I started to put my phone in a very specific spot.
Like,
you know?
Chalk line it? Like a body?
Yeah. And I'd come back and we moved a little bit. Every time.
But did she know your passcode?
Oh, yeah. She got into all my shit. She got into my Facebook.
What?
One time I was like, I was on my computer. I was like, someone's trying to log in your Facebook in the town that she lived in, you know, 400 miles away. And wow. I called her. I go, are you trying to log into my Facebook? She goes, no. And I go, okay, bye.
The last guy I dated would be like, he'd be like, you're being weird with your phone. And I was like, every night I cannot finish the crossword and I hand you my phone and leave and walk my dog and force you to finish the crossword. How am I being weird? I give you my phone for like an hour and I'm like, yeah. And he's like, no, I know that's a ploy. And I'm like, that is crazy. There's nothing in there.
I've never gone through someone's phone.
I've never done it, but I know that I'd find exactly what I was looking for. You know what I mean? Even if it was nothing, I would make it something.
I used to be jealous, but
really?
But this kind of cured me. I go, oh, they're cheating. I find that gross, and they're gross, and fine.
But the fear is that you don't know about it, and then you're just dating a gross person. I think that's the scary thing.
But when you find out, it won't be as devastating because you're like, oh, you're gross. I don't even want to be with you.
Yeah. I think
it's a mental trick, but
I think the fear is that they're going to be like, hey, I've been cheating on you, and I like that person better.
Ugh.
You know what I mean?
Devastating.
That's the fear.
I'm sure I've been cheated on, but I never found out. But I'm sure it's happened.
I've been cheated on, but I forced it to happen. I like would call every day. He was like working on this like weed farm with this like hot girl. And I was like, oh, so you guys are going to cheat? So you guys are going to cheat? And I would literally be like, here's what's going to happen. And I would paint this picture and be like, that's not what's going to happen. And I'd be like, no, that's what's going to happen. And then you guys are going to just be laying together one night. Maybe it'll get cold on the farm. You're going to have to. And then he called me. He was like, exactly what you said happened. And I'd be like, yeah, because I literally made.
You manifested. You de-secreted it.
Yeah. Well, even not manifesting, but I like painted every. Like it's
you
almost.
You let him know how to do it?
Yeah. I basically was like. These are the footsteps. If you walk in that, it will lead you to sex. And it won't even be a shock to me because I've already mourned it 1,000 times by screaming on the phone to you that you're going to cheat on me. And he's like, yeah, I did the exact thing that you said.
You don't seem like the person you described that.
I'm
psycho. To date you, it seems like really crazy and like cool.
Yeah.
But like you don't seem like because you're logical.
Oh, my God.
You seem self-aware.
I'm like, is something weird going on? Did you decide that you don't like me? Do you not like me? Why are you acting like that? Is it because that you don't like me? Is it possible that is this? Do you think that maybe we shouldn't be together because we fundamentally have this like core difference and I don't think we're going to be able to get past that? And I don't even know if I believe in relationships. Wait, are you leaving because I said it's like I get loop. It's like a fucking pinwheel and it's just like
you're going to be good at chess.
Really?
That's exactly the mindset of chess right there. Is this going to happen? Okay. If he goes there, then I have to go there. Then I go there. Chess is all about like how many moves ahead can you think is how good you are at chess. Like if I go here, she's going to go there. Then if she goes there, I can go there. And then if you can get like 5 deep, you'll be a good number of people.
Maybe that's where I should channel all of it.
Yeah. Have you ever taken a chess class?
No. Have you taken a chess class?
No. But I kind of want to. Like, I want to get better. Let's get better.
Yeah. I want to get really good at chess.
I kind of want to not do, like, stop. Like, I have this podcast I do, and I kind of want to, like, not do it anymore and just do something else.
Yeah.
And it scares me because I'm, like, supposed to be a comedian. But I do have other interests.
What if you play chess with comedians and you make jokes the whole time and you try and kind of teach them?
Yeah, maybe I'll make that the podcast.
Yeah.
We play chess.
People like chess.
So few people know how to play chess.
But that'd be funny. Teaching Emma Willman how to play chess would be the funniest thing anybody could ever see.
Who's Emma Willman?
Emma Willman is the zany little lesbian who has ADHD and is like literally texted me the other day that she shit her pants. She's like constantly just... You know what I'm talking about? Little bleach blonde girl.
I got to get out more. I got to get out more.
You got to get
I'm
out
I'm also more. Like, I'll know someone by their face and then, yeah.
Yeah, you recognize kind
of her. Yeah. Well, it might be like, if the podcast me explaining, like, this piece goes here, it might be like super boring to watch that. Unless you go before you come learn how to play chess.
It won't, because remember learning for the first time, you were like, the horsey goes L-Y? Like, why is the horsey the L? And you're like, it just is the L. You know what I mean? Like, remember your dad teaching you and you being like, the castle can do this? And you'd be like, oh, hell yeah! You know what I mean? Like,
all the way?
Yeah. And the queen is the most powerful and the king is the man and he's just this stuck little fucking idiot who can't do shit.
But every show would be that for 20 minutes, and then they would get destroyed.
No, people know how to play chess. More people know than you think. If I know?
You'd be surprised. I brought a chessboard to the Stand Comedy Club. No one can play.
You should bring one to the Cellar.
Yeah, I will.
I'll bring one.
I lost. I don't know where it went. I had it at the Stand.
I used to go across the country, and I had a chessboard, and I would play everywhere.
Wow.
But I never got good.
I think you see, like what I just told you, those three things, I think you're going to like
the
jump.
The center. Think ahead. Pawns.
Not exactly what I...
Pawns are going to fuck up the king in the end?
Well...
You got to trap with the pawns and then get the guys in.
You want to protect your king early.
Yeah.
Through the center. There's a couple of easy tactics.
I don't want the tactics. I'm against the tactics. Where you do this and then this and then this.
Pin the king. You pin pieces to the king and they're screwed.
Pin your own pieces.
No, pin their pieces to the king. Like if they get in front of the king, always try to be like, can I pin this piece?
Like if they have a horse in front of the king.
Yeah.
You're like, can I keep that guy there?
Yeah.
By.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Rook. They get the queen in front of the king. You get like your bishop to pin it. Also, always protect all your pieces. When you're playing like, this piece is not being protected. Always get a pawn next to him.
I sacrifice these motherfuckers. I go, you take the bishop. I got another one, bitch. And then I lose.
Oh, this is like...
I do bloodbath.
I do
bloodbath quick. Because I lose my attention span and I go, fuck it. Oh, wow.
It's not a bad tactic. If you're up a piece, then you can go bloodbath. And you'll be at the end with an extra piece.
Because so I want to get to the point where we're, you know.
Yeah. I feel like all my hobbies are very boring.
What else you got?
Also, I love space and science. Like, I took physics in college. I was very, like, into that. I'm very into space. Also, we're both into death a little bit. It's all things no one wants to really talk about.
Right. What kind of death stuff?
Oh.
Like past life or like
I don't
near
really
death?
Believe in, like, past life stuff. It's just, like... I guess it's not like I'm into death, but I'm very into like where we come from. Like the big questions are just fascinating to me. And also religion, just I feel like you close a door. Like this is the answer. You're closed off to the real answer. And there's been a lot of, you know, discoveries in science recently that should be blowing people's minds, in my opinion.
Like what?
Well, that, you know, we all come, all atoms come from supernova exploding stars. Like you're, you know, you come from, oh, God made us. But like, it's actually really cool. We're literally stardust. And you can have atoms in one of your hands. It's from a different star than your other hand.
That's
like
so
an amazing thing.
And religion diminishes everything.
Well, like it can't be true. And then you go, you're not interested in learning what's really happening. I mean, we're very far from understanding, but
I think if there is a belief in God, it would have to understand all the science stuff, because that would be godlike.
If there is a God, he definitely is like, use science, guys.
It's
saved more people than anything.
Yeah.
It's given more comfort.
Well, and to just be like, look at like the human iris and be like, damn, that looks an awful lot like a planet. And then to just be like, nah, God did it. Is like, no, God, if you believe in God, then he did all the shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So you could study all the shit because it's God's creation.
Yeah.
But they can't.
I'm going into simulation theory. Like the last,
are you really?
The last 15 years of discoveries have all pointed.
No way.
To
how?
Simulation. First of all, you know, the double slit experiment.
Yeah.
So that
double slit experiment is there's two slits, you push a photon at them, photon, photon, photon. So they can either go through one or they can go through the other. And if you're, if the observer is not watching, they will go through both at the same time. But as soon as somebody starts watching the experiment, they pick one of them.
So, right. It's a wave. If you're not looking, if you're looking, like you put a camera on it, it becomes a particle. Exactly like a VR headset. You don't render something you're not looking at. That's weird. They don't know why that happens. They've done this a million times. This is
what do you mean they don't render?
You know, like you're in a VR, it just would take too much compute to render the whole scene around you. So when you turn, then it renders it. Much exactly like the double slit experiment, how our world works.
Yeah, but isn't that just like if I put lights in this room that are that turn on as I walk through the room? Sensing my position? Sense it. What am I saying? What are those words? What is the...
Sensing your position?
What is the word? The lights that turn on when you walk by them.
Oh, yeah. Sensors?
Yeah.
Light sensors that turn on the light?
There's a word for it. Automatic?
Automatic lights? Well, there's that. Nothing's rendered unless you look at it.
Like, but isn't that just focusing on your head turning?
Why shouldn't the world all be here in a solid... Why does it need to be looked at to become a solid? That's the main question.
It's not.
Of the double
solid
slit.
Behind me.
Well, the double slit experiment that you just mentioned.
Yeah.
It's nothing. Everything acts as a wave until it's observed.
Right. Like Schrodinger's cat. Like everything exists until it's observed, and then it has to be one outcome or the other.
Well, no, the photon exists as a wave. It exists as a wave if you don't look at it. And it exists as matter if you look at it or you put a camera on it. I mean, that makes no sense.
Yeah.
It should just be a photon is matter and it would go through the same way no matter whether someone was looking at it or not. I mean, it's the most insane thing. This is like a 60-year-old or 70-year-old. Yeah. Thing that we can't figure out.
Yeah.
There's also quantum entanglement, which is like a relatively new thing. I mean, you take atoms, you know, put them across.
You send one really far away, and then if I fuck with that one does the same thing.
Yeah, and there should, I mean, the fact that the speed of light, like why does our universe have a speed limit is also another thing that points to a simulation theory.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, why should there be a speed limit? It's like, everything's like trying to save compute, it seems like. And also something...
It's all rendering.
It's just rendering. And then two things, the quantum entanglement means like we're maybe all in this little thing. You know, we're actually really close to each other. But, you know, like a world, like if you're playing a game and it's in a computer, which is right there, but you're playing the game and you're going all these vast worlds all around... And yet it's actually stationed in one thing. That's another thing people...
But how does that... What does that mean about the...
Quantum entanglement means, like, they're not really far away. Like, we're... It's like an illusion that we have all this space. It's actually all... And I know I say machine or we're all in one space. This is just one of the arguments for simulation theory. That this is, we're like in a game. We would never be able to understand what... If we were created by something or we are in some kind of simulation, it's almost pointless to try to figure it out. That's where I get into like a loop where I don't even want to think about it. It's like if we, you know, the Sims game?
Yeah.
Okay, there's little characters in there. If we gave them all artificial general intelligence where they like started to go, oh, I'm this guy and I'm in this world. And just imagine having them start to try to figure out, hey, where'd we come from? Like, they would never be able to imagine this, like, 3D world we're in.
And you would grow them from a baby.
No, you could just put it into them right now.
Into them right now.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, who am I?
I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, that's just an example of, like, that might be what's going on.
And they wouldn't come close to cracking the code, like the Matrix.
No. So, like, we probably won't come...
I've always been obsessed with simulation theory because the Matrix is my favorite movie.
Yeah.
And I've always been, like, to get on the outside of something would be the most desirable.
I know.
But the problem is, it's like, you would have no way of knowing. And two... It all becomes deleted to me as soon as I'm, like, up against, like, a redwood tree. I'm like, there's no fucking way. There's no way this thing is simulated. In this room, I feel like this is a simulation with the cameras and the lights and the nylon. But when I'm out in a thing, I'm like, no way. This is like...
Well, also, in a way, it's not simulated. Even if it is simulated, it is real, like, for us. But you never touch anything. You know that?
Yeah, that's weird. That you never touch anything.
That's fucking weird. You never touch anything. And also, like, in your brain, this isn't simulation, but, like, you're this is like, see, this is why I should not get up in the morning.
Why?
Like everything like is like a trip with no good answers. But like you're in like this dark trap in your skull.
Oh.
That's actually where you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why we have pillows today.
Oh, we're very, very similar.
Yeah, like I think these things pop into my head. No free will. These things like pop into my head all the time. And
well, that was my problem when I was doing acid. I would do acid and I'd be like, all I have are these two fucking holes to see out of. And I'm taking in shit through these dumbass fucking holes. And the rest is just chaos and so much going on in this tiny little framework. And I'm dicking around with it with drugs. No way. Mm-hmm. No way is that a safe thing to do. I'm going to recess into this thing.
Do you do the DMT? Have you done that?
No, I don't do drugs.
You don't do drugs?
No, I do. I'll like microdose mushrooms. But no, because of what you're saying, because I obsess about getting lost forever in the void.
Yeah.
I can't. I used to all the time. I used to be a fucking LSD, hippie, mushroomy, weed, blunt every morning.
Yeah, I've never done the psychedelic because that same thing. I'm afraid I don't want to unsnap my brain.
I'll look at the corner of a room and be able to like move it and make it like convex or concave, and I'll be able to shift things around. Mm. And I'm like, there's no way that if my perception can just fuck around like this, like I can basically at will just like have a panic attack. There's no way that me going in with a drug and fucking things around, there's no way that's a safe thing. You know
he
what I mean?
Seems so. Together and self-aware that when you say these things that like you're gonna have a panic attack, and I know you're telling the truth,
yeah,
but it doesn't, you don't appear to, you seem very comfortable in your skin,
yeah,
you seem all these things that aren't typical.
If you talk to anybody I date, they'd be like, dude, Jordan has a panic attack every other fucking day and has to like, and says shit like, I'll like, when I have panic attacks, objects become really absurd to me. Like, this would become too absurd.
Yeah.
Like, this stupid thing that is made of stuff. And, like, I'm trying to describe that to people, and they're like, I can't, I don't understand what you're saying. And I'm like, this is my apartment? This isn't my apartment? This doesn't make any sense. I put that stuff on the wall, and now it's here, and I'm in this weird set. And, like, now I'm just walking around, and people are like, hi, Jordan. And who is that? That's just somebody I just am every day forever.
Yeah, the same thing.
It's so fucking weird.
I know, it's such a rabbit hole.
And then people are like, that's your mother. And I'm like, yeah, yes, it is. Everything loses its context.
And then you add no free will, and then it's just...
Yeah, well, no free will calms me down. Because I'm like, this panic attack is out of your control. Whatever happens is going to happen. Let it ride.
Let people know about free will real quick. So, with no free will.
No free will is that nothing is really in your control, and it's all an illusion that we think it's in our control. So basically we think that, like, I'm going to grab this can now, but that's not my control. That's because I started listening to Kyle years ago, and then I did a podcast because I got into comedy and it led me to here, and then I showed up and it's Honey Out, so then I put the water here, and then we started talking about no free will. All of it has nothing to do with me, but I think that going like that is my choice, but it's not a choice. It's like the rock going downhill.
And people go, they go, well, then everyone would just go rape and kill people, but you wouldn't, because that's painful. You're acting on like a pain pleasure principle in your subconscious, and you wouldn't do something.
Well,
that really
maybe
painful.
If your mother and father raped you over and over as a child, then you'd lead to be a rapist, but right. It'd be pretty weird for your free will to have nothing to do with rape and then randomly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's like the rock rolling downhill all of a sudden, like flying into the air. It wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
It doesn't know how to go in the air.
This is the thing people really have a problem with, is if you were born with that guy's brain that killed his parents.
Yes.
And you had his experience, you would also do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
They go, no, I wouldn't.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah. I think about that all
There's
the time.
Nothing else besides like you're given your brain,
yeah,
which you didn't pick, and you things should happen to you, and then they go like, this guy got a bad childhood, he didn't do something bad.
Yeah,
it's such a blanket. There's so many variables. There's one day, even you take two twins and one comes out a little shittier.
Yeah.
Like maybe the dad came home drunk and said something shitty to the one that was awake.
Yeah.
That was asleep. That's one little thing.
Yeah.
And that just changes the guy.
It's crazy. And it's totally out of control. And people think that it is. Sometimes I have this thing where I'll be on stage and I'll talk to somebody in the audience. And I'll be like in some weird bumfuck place. And it will, I will not, I will like, the thing that blows my mind is that I will leave and that person is just going to live the rest of their life. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to leave. They'll be out of my perception. I'll never see them again. And they're going to wake up in their weird little apartment in their tiny little town. And they're going to pack their bowl or whatever and go to their job. And they're going to live out the rest of their life and will never.
I think these same things.
Isn't that weird?
I think that too. And then if you go to the whole slit experiment, like, do they exist? Like, are you like the main player and then things don't exist when they go away in some way?
It's so weird to think about. It's so, and their whole lives go on and you might have intersected for a second, but they will have nothing to do with each other. I don't know why that freaks me out so much.
I know.
Like, why? It's not a negative thing, but it is a weird.
People think it's negative and they think I'm dark. And I'm like, no, I just had this pop. This is just something that's like interesting. Also, the bad thing is I'm too stupid to
figure any
of it out. It's just like, oh, that's a thought that, you know, if you believe in evolution, I mean, we're like the first primates that can go, that can kind of really do this in a deeper way or like really know we're going to die. And watch yourself like in the mirror slowly die. And that's a huge burden to be like the first.
It's fucked.
Primate
yeah.
to the denial, be able to do that. Of course, we're going to be on medication and have religion.
Yeah, we're just watching it happen and we ignore it all the time. The Becker, The Denial of Death, is that Becker or Dennett? Becker. He wrote The Denial of Death where he's basically his thesis is that everything that we do is based around the fact that we know we're going to die.
I think that too.
It has to be that way.
When you look at other cultures, the ones who like really put death, like they'll walk around with their dead relative and jump around, they're much less stressed out. And
our shit is weird.
The Kardashian, we push this thing, we're pushing it all down, it comes out weird.
Yeah, the youth, the obsession with youth, it's so weird. And then the coffins and the weird funerals that are supposed to be very sad. It's very odd. And we like ignore aging and then you just like are, it's not like they remove the old people from our experience. We're like looking at ancient people in the streets of New York being like, ah! And then being like, yeah, I don't think about death at all. It's like, yes, you do. You just walk past a corpse. You just walk past an Asian lady who's at a right angle because she's got a hump thing. You're thinking about death. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. But then if you think about death too much, then you're like, I think thinking about death, if I did that, like, for example, if I did that every single time I got into those loops, like those like, do you like me loops? If I was like, I will die rapidly, I would stop. But we deny death so much that we get so caught up in the moment because we're like, I'm never going to die. I'm never going to die. Therefore, this moment I have to hyperanalyze. But if I was like, I will die, then I think that would help.
There is a death meditation thing people recommend. You just meditate on death and it does seem dark, but I think you're right.
I think
it does come, you sort of get a perspective on it, but I don't think about this a lot. Like I don't go around the whole day, but it does pop into my head.
Yeah. I don't think about it.
Maybe like once.
I thought about it for a period of my life way too much and was slammed with medication and freaked everybody out and they thought I was going to kill myself. And I was like, I just have questions I need answers to. And they were like, nah, fuck her up. And so now I've thought about it so much that it's not a scary thing. It's like an inquisitive thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was a kid, it was like, dude, I couldn't figure it out. I was like, if we die, why am I getting out of bed? Answer that. I was like, why wouldn't I kill myself today? If I'm eventually going to die.
Yeah.
And I could not figure out the answer to that. And my mom would be like, because there's love and stuff and dogs and happiness. And I'm like, but you lose it all. What is the point? And she'd be like, you got to go to see a therapist.
Good point.
Yeah.
It's a thing where, you know, when everybody's nervous, you don't get nervous. It's like everyone's ignoring it. So it makes my brain go, hey, no one's thinking about this. It's like there's a flood or like the Titanic hit an iceberg and everyone's like partying. It makes me more nervous about it. Like if everyone's like talking about and it was like part of our society, I think I wouldn't think about it as much.
I also obsess about death so much that I tether myself to everybody in my life. Like, I tie them to me with a rope of friendship and foreverness, or whoever I'm dating, I'm like, we fucking forever. Yeah. Because I think that we'll all walk into death together and I'll have a crew.
That's the thing. I don't want to die alone. Like it's
going to be alone. It's going to be alone.
They can't do anything. They're going to be like, you know.
Yeah. But that's my next step, is once I accept death is alone, then I won't have the pink envelope thing where I go, yeah, we can get lunch every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because if I did that, I wouldn't be here right now. I'd be getting lunch with all 90 of those people.
90? Wow.
However many people got spammed.
Three. Talked too long?
We're so over.
You know what this is the last thing I'll say about death. When I was 6 years old, my sister made a scary Halloween basement thing for me. You know, you put your hand in like a bowl of grapes, and it's like, the end where she took off my blindfold, it was a tombstone with my name on it. I was 6 years old.
Oh.
So that'll do.
My God.
Yeah, I really was like, oh yeah.
Wow.
How long have we been chatting?
Hour and a half.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. And I could keep going forever.
Yeah.
But I have to do it.
We'll play chess soon.
Yeah, let's play chess in Prospect Park.
That'd be awesome. Do they have outdoor tables?
They have by the Winner, that cafe.
There's a cafe in Prospect Park.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
We'll go up there. There's, you know what I mean? You know where all the Mexicans have their
I must picnics? Not see this spot.
What?
I think I've missed this spot where there's like a cafe and the stuff.
There's a little valley that you walk through, right?
Yeah, the big field.
The big field, beyond the big field. Do you go beyond there?
Dog pond.
Dog left. Beach.
Beach.
Right is the little uphill.
Yeah.
That's cafe tables.
Okay, I'd never gone up there.
What? The best.
We'll go up there.
We'll go up there. My hand hurts from punching.
If you're just tuning in, it's over. We got pillows and glasses to protect ourselves.
Wait, plug your stuff. Do you have stuff?
YouTube and Instagram, Kyle Dunnigan.
Great. Are you touring?
Oh, I'm going on tour. Yeah, KyleDunnigan.com. I'm going to Europe. Same place. I'm going to the Lecter Hall. And I'm in Dallas soon. Dallas?
Addison?
Oh, and Baltimore.
Is the Addison, Improv?
Yeah.
I love that club. Addison, go see him. He's the best. That club rules.
Thank you.
Thank you.